wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devi happy hour now. I trust them with everything. Every compliment's giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'm making you a champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night though, so you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is the Devi Happy Hour, episode 47. My name is Skip Newton, one of your co-hosts. Episode 10 for us. It is Friday, June 26th, and we are happy to be with you. I'm broadcasting from the basement studios in Eagan, Minnesota, and happy to be joined by my co-hosts. Number one on the list, of course, Brian Shakochis from Boston, Mass., otherwise known as Shaq. I call him Master Yoda. How are you doing, Brian?
Doing awesome, brother. I'm ready to get after it again. I enjoy these gem hunting expeditions that we are going on last week, this week, and I look forward to more of it, man.
Excellent. Yeah, we went last week with nine guys from the non-Power 5 schools, and we've got another nine guys today, so we're really excited to get into those. But before we do, we've got to introduce my other co-host, Mr. Matthew Jackson. I call him Obi-Wan from North Carolina. How you doing, Matt?
Yo, what's up, fellas? How's it going? I'm excited to be back talking about some non-Power 5 guys. I do have an important question, though, before we start the podcast tonight. Every time we do a podcast, right, I'm staring at Shaq's screen, and I see that Golden Tee game in the back of his background. And I happened to get on Twitter the other day, Brian, and I saw that you had shot an eagle on that thing. So my question to you is, how many times did it take for you to shoot an eagle on that game where you were just, like, crank it up first time, not knock it down?
Well, I mean, that was my first eagle on this machine. You know what I mean? Like, I just got this machine relatively recently, and it's one of the best purchases I ever made, frankly. And I couldn't recommend that enough. But yeah, it took me probably, I don't know, better part of 4 weeks easy to sort of really get back into it. I just keep setting course record after course record. Because once you fire up the machine for the first time, it just, it's got all the default scores. But finally getting that eagle was just a thing of beauty. Loved it.
Well, I know we had talked about it before. I know the first thing we're going to do, if we somehow, for some reason, don't have a college football season this year, Skip and I are going to watch you play that Golden Tee, and we're just going to break down, analyze your game. So, at worst case scenario, listeners, you've got something to do.
That sounds like it'll be riveting, I'm sure.
Yeah, our listeners will love that. Let's talk about somebody's golf game when they're not actually golfing. They're playing a video game.
Yeah, what a treat that'd be.
Although, apparently, watching people play video games is a thing. Because my son does it all the time or did it all the time, and I'd make fun of him. And then I talk to another dad in the neighborhood. He goes, apparently a lot of people do this, and they're like making tons of money playing video games broadcasting it.
That's my generation. That's not y'all's generation.
Yeah, it's totally. It's like me and Skip are just like yelling at everyone to get off our lawn, basically. Like it's just that kind of a thing.
That's absolutely it. Yeah. All right, let's transition into a guy that we all have talked about actually for a couple of months, and now we're getting back to him because we like him so much, and we just kind of talked to him amongst the three of us. Shaq, he's the first guy on your list out of Memphis, DeMonte Coxey. Tell us more about this guy, because I think we're all going to be pretty well aligned on him.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, the fact that these guys are in our second episode, there are a couple of these dudes that we've mentioned before, and so we're like, let's bump them to the second episode, right? And Coxey is one of those dudes. And I think our last guy tonight is going to be one of those dudes as well. But yeah, DeMonte Coxey, I love this guy. Memphis, 6'3", 200. He led the Tigers in receiving the past 2 years. He averaged over the last 2 years, 74 receptions, 1225 for yardage, and 8 scores over those 2 seasons. He's not a burner. So he's not a guy who's going to win with speed, but he's got nice size at 6'3", 200. He is a consistent producer. He finds ways to create separation and produce, and I really love that. He came on down the stretch in 2019. He went over 100 yards receiving in five of the final seven games of the year. So we talk about guys blossoming. One of my other guys tonight is a guy who blossomed throughout the season. DeMonte Coxey blossomed in his second productive season in a row. So coming back for a senior year, I love what DeMonte Coxey's future can be. And you know, he's back. Brady White's back at quarterback for Memphis. They got a new coach, but it's still an in-house guy that took the role. And so I think he's got another dynamite season on tap. And I'm looking to see what he can do to his prospect profile as, you know, in this final campaign as a senior. I think the speed is going to be an issue that might hold him back a little bit, but the fact that he's able to overcome that and consistently create separation, I think speaks well for him as a prospect. I love DeMonte Coxey. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Shaq, I love DeMonte Coxey. Admittedly, when we started this whole series about vacated production, and even before that, when we had first gotten together and decided to start up this venture that is the Debbie Happy Hour, I didn't know much about DeMonte Coxey. But, right, I trust your opinion and your evaluation of players enough that you told me, you said, Matt, go turn on the game tape. And what did I do? I went and turned on the game tape. And the first thing you notice that stands out about DeMonte Coxey, I think one of his best traits is not only his route running, but his hands, right? He has such impressive hands and strength at the catch point. It seems like every time the ball was thrown to him in traffic, every time his quarterback was trying to thread the needle and there was somebody right on him, Coxey came down with that ball. And his strength at the catch point is just so impressive. And Shaq, you know, you hit on his speed. His speed is a little bit of a worry. But when you turn on his game tape and you watch him, his speed's not great, right? But he does have the speed to beat you over the top at times. He's not a slow guy by any means, because there were several times.
No, he's not slow.
There were several times where I saw him beating defensive backs over the top and stretch of the field. So he can do that. He's got an aspect of that in his game.
Yeah, you know, I tend to favor wide receivers and running backs too, but wide receivers who are fast and quick, guys that can just make those big plays. I like the explosive athletes, and that is definitely not what Coxey brings. However, I still like this guy because, like you guys have both said, he gets open and he finds a way to beat his defender and just make the play. And it's not just, you know, one or two routes or three routes that he does well. It just feels like this guy runs just a variety of different routes. He uses, you know, his height to go up and get the ball high. I mean, he makes tough catches. He's just a good wide receiver. He's good at football, as they like to say. And he always seems to know where he's at on the field. I mean, he makes tough catches in the end zone, on the sidelines. And guys like that, you know, I heard a guy, again, I wish I could remember who this guy was, but he was so good on a podcast. And he was really focusing when he said he debated on wide receivers and he tried to decide, you know, okay, is this guy going to be good at the next level? He looked to see, what does this guy do to beat the other guy, to beat the opponent? And Coxey is just one of those guys that he does those little things to get open and beat his defender. And I think that can negate, you know, some of the concern that people might have on the lack of speed. And again, he's not slow. So, you know, I don't want to overplay that, but yeah, I really like this kid. I think he's underrated. He's not high on people's radar. And I think his value is going to go up, and, you know, he's going to get drafted in the NFL, and he could be a real nice steal for some NFL team and for dynasty owners out there.
I recently did a Debbie auctions, and it was a rookie auction, and DeMonte Coxey was one of those guys that I ended up getting, I think, out of like a $1,000 budget or something like that. I got him for $1. So when you say under the radar, he's definitely somebody that guys I'm not even sure know about right now, which is insane to me.
It's insane. I mean, he's done like 1,200 yards two seasons in a row. I don't know what a guy's got to do to get anybody's attention. I mean, the AAC is an up-and-coming conference. We've talked about that before. I mean, you know, people have talked. We mentioned it last episode. People have talked. I mean, that conference is damn near making it a power six. They finished with more ranked teams last year in the AAC than I think three of the power five conferences. So
that's insane.
Yeah, it's wild, right? I mean, they're a pretty damn good conference. So And Memphis is one of those squads. I put this in my notes. One of my other guys, I got like three sleeper guys this year. Talked about a couple of them already. Devin Williams at Oregon, we talked about him. Kevin Austin at Notre Dame, talked about him. And Asa Martin is probably my deepest dig of the bunch here. But Asa Martin might be that next guy to pop for Memphis in that Tony Pollard, Antonio Gibson role. He's a former four-star guy. Went to went to Auburn, saw the field and got some touches as a true freshman. And then he transfers to Miami for like 10 seconds, transfers to Memphis from there, had to sit out a year. And you know what happens when guys have to sit out a year? They get off everybody's radar. And so you got a former four-star guy, pretty interesting dude, who could all of a sudden start making some noise. I mean, Memphis is a backfield that has handled multiple fantasy relevant running backs, right? They got Kenneth Gainwell last year and Antonio Gibson doing things. So they have that slot hybrid running back role. It'd be interesting to see if Martin can fill that role. So he's one of my sleeper guys I'll be watching for sure.
Look at that, a 2-for-1 from Shaq, man. Get the double whammy.
I hope our listeners are listening to Shaq's deep dives, because I know I am. I tried my hardest to get Devin Williams from Skip in our C to C league, and I just couldn't swing it. He wouldn't send him to
not
me.
Not yet, anyway. Well, and we did break a record. It only took 16 and a half minutes for Matt to get one of these, you know, bargain guys that he got either in a Devy auction or in a draft, or some guy ridiculously falls to him that shouldn't, or I got him for $1. It's like, man, oh my God. 16 and a half minutes to show. So that's a new record. Nice
Matt job, Jackson, Matt. He just waltzes around the fantasy football universe, just dropping horseshoes out of his pocket. Guy is lucky as all get
out. You've heard it said, you'd rather be lucky than good. And when it comes to fantasy football, I just have some gems falling to my lap sometimes.
That's true.
I believe the comeback you're looking for, Matt, is that luck favors the prepared. All right. And we know that Matt is prepared for his next guy. It's Dante Wright out of Colorado State. I feel like this is becoming the Colorado State happy hour, because we're going to talk about them again later, and we talked about them last show. So let's talk a little bit about Mr. Dante Wright, Matt. What do you got?
So, yeah, Dante Wright, he's a 5'10", 165-pound sophomore. Finished the season last year with 57 receptions for 805 yards and 4 touchdowns. So definitely had that production. He also had 200 rushing yards and was used sparingly as a return man, right? So he's used all over the field. He's got that athleticism and speed to him. He was an ESPN True Freshman All-American last year. When you really turn on and look at Dante Wright's film, he was one that, you know, I've got in our C2C league, and I was really excited to watch his game film and whatnot. And when I turned it on, he was one of those guys that, not to say he left me disappointed, but he was one of those guys that for me, and maybe you guys have a different opinion on it, but it is more disappointing than I thought he was going to be, right? When you turn on his game film, first thing that pops is his speed. He's got this amazing, wicked fast speed. He can beat you over the top just about anytime the ball snaps. So he's definitely got this wicked speed on him. He's agile on his feet, and he's not just a speed guy, right? He can high point the ball, go up and get it, and he's got really good sideline awareness. So he's got a lot of things going for him that are really, really exciting. You like to see. But at 165 pounds, that worries me a little bit, guys. He's somebody that you definitely need to see put on a little bit of weight. When you look at his game film, he was used primarily in the slot. He was used as what I like to call a team's energy injector, right? So anytime this offense, the Colorado State offense, needed a boost of energy, it came from Mr. Dante Wright. He was put in slot a lot. He was moved all over the field. He was somebody that was the go-to guy whenever you needed a big play. So that's definitely a good thing that he brings to the table. However, when you look at him, when I was watching his game film, he looked a lot like a gimmick player, right? Somebody like a Cordarrelle Patterson, or like last year or 2 years ago's Laviska Shenault. Somebody that, while in college, is a great football player, but then the draft stock doesn't quite equal up. So there's something about, at least for me, Dante Wright, where I kind of look at him, he's a fantastic football player, might not be the best fantasy player when it comes to the NFL. I don't personally know what his draft stock looks like, because when you look at even Laviska Shenault last year, right, his draft stock wasn't something that was incredibly high. So he's somebody that I would take a wait-and-see approach this year and see what happens. He's not somebody that I would really want to roster on a Devy league right now. He's great for a C2C league, but he's somebody that for me anyway, reminds me a little too much of a gimmick player and a LaVisca Chenault, Cordarrelle Patterson type of player that has me a little worried. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Matt. I do like his shiftiness, how quick and elusive he is. You know, we talked about guys that can return punts, and we like that characteristic. With the breakaway speed as well, he's going to get you the yak. So, yeah, he's got a lot of those positives. The concern is the size for me. I mean, being a generous 175, you know, 170-ish, that's a pretty light wide receiver, or even, you know, if he's a running back, same thing, right? That's kind of the kind of guy to take a beating in the NFL. I mean, those guys are so much bigger. So that would be my concern going there. The one thing that I got out of your really detailed analysis on him was when you mentioned how you took him in the league, and then as you started really looking into him, you know, later watching film, you kind of regretted the decision. I think that's one of the things that we can pass on to, you know, Devy and CDC owners out there, is when you're doing drafts or when you're looking at picking guys up, you know, take a little bit of time and just look at some film and watch them play, just to make sure that style and what you see is something that you like out of your player. You know, don't just be a stats guy. Stats are good. I mean, they're important. Obviously, you want a guy that's production, provides the production, but you know, you can learn a lot just by watching, you know, some video of a guy, even if it's just for 5 minutes. You kind of get the idea of what kind of player he is. Matt, you want to jump in here again on that thought?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to draft a guy, it's so crucial that you watch film. He's one of the, that I didn't have as much as a risk for because I got him pretty late in our dispersal. But for me, definitely, if I'm picking a wide receiver from Colorado State's roster, it's Warren Jackson, right? I like him a whole lot better than I do Dante Wright. But yeah, Skip, just to hit on your point, watch film, have these opinions for yourself, because your eyes are going to tell you what you see. So don't just pick a guy blindly based on what stats see. Go in and dive into the film and see for yourself.
I'm torn on Dante Wright in a significant way. I will say that I think I like him more than you guys. I definitely think I like him more than you guys like him. But I'm also torn in another direction, because what I don't like about Dante Wright is I'm circling back mentally, and the way that he's used in that offense reminds me so much of what I didn't care for, the way Tutu Atwell is used for Louisville. They're very similarly sized. I don't think that Dante Wright has the same speed as Tutu Atwell, but he's got very, very good speed. I think Dante Wright clearly plays a little, he plays heavier. He plays a thicker style, a tougher style of game to me. And sometimes it doesn't sound like much, but just that 5 pounds heavier that Dante Wright is than Tutu Atwell, somehow it seems to translate on the field when you're watching the two of them. But they are used so similarly with the jet sweeps, the little pop pass action on the jet sweep motion. And so from that perspective, yeah, they use in a very similar way. I do like somehow Dante Wright, and I think as a true freshman to be able to get over 1,000 scrimmage yards on 74 touches and 6 scores, as a true freshman, I'll be really interested to see what he does next year. I wouldn't feel bad about getting him on a C2C roster at all, really, at this point, unless you overpaid for him. Because I think Dante Wright is a guy who's got 2 years left to keep growing and developing. I don't think he's going to grow in terms of height and weight a whole lot more, but I think he's going to grow as a football player. And I am going to be interested to see what he turns into. I was impressed with his dynamism, the dynamic elements of his game as a true freshman. I'll be looking to check him out as a true sophomore, because I find him interesting more than I find him fascinating. But I will certainly be interested to see what he does this year, this fall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the point that I was getting at, I guess, was the fact that I have a wait-and-see approach about him. He's definitely a dynamic player, but I want to make sure that the guy that I'm picking, if I'm looking at him for a Devy League, I want to make sure he's not just a good football player, but he's going to be a good fantasy football player, because that's what this game's about, right?
Yeah, I think when we talked Tutu Atwell before, my whole thing was went back to trauma about Tavon Austin, right? Where it's like, he looked amazing coming in, and then it never really translated. He stuck around for years and had a career in the NFL, but it never really translated to fantasy success. So to your point there, man.
Yeah, those guys definitely look really good and make great plays in college, but then when it gets to the NFL, it often doesn't translate. But it's possible he's still going to be the right guy for you, Shaq. And if he is, maybe Matt can trade for him or trade him to you. So the next couple of guys are not going to be the short, fast, quickie ones, as we're going to get into a couple of tight ends. First one on the list is Kylan Granson at SMU. He's a senior, 6'3", 235. He's a good athlete, 721 yards on 43 catches, 9 touchdowns. He moves well, both when he's blocking in space and running routes. Really liked how he adjusted well to the ball, has nice concentration on some tough catches. He's got good athleticism as well. He'll get you some yards after the catch. You know, what you like to see from a tight end, that a guy that could get into the next level. Really curious to hear, you know, what you guys thought as we talk about these next couple of tight ends, you know, Kylan being the first one. Matt, you have anything on Mr. Granson?
Yeah, so obviously, just like last week, we're writing out a lot of the same notes. So we got to just do this together. That way we don't have to both write the same thing, right? But when you mentioned Kylan, one of the big things that stuck out to him is his surprising speed, right? For a big guy, for somebody of his size, he has really, really good speed and big play potential to him. So obviously that's something you like. You like your tight ends to be able to get downfield and be a great pass catcher. But he's not only a great pass catcher. From what I noted, he was a really good blocker. He was able to pick up blocks and hold blocks. So he's somebody that's going to stay on the field throughout the entire game. So he's somebody that, while blocking doesn't get you fantasy football points, Skip, you mentioned it last week, blocking will keep you on the field so you have more opportunity to score fantasy football points. So he has great speed, great blocker. His concentration to make those contested catches and his concentration at the catch point to extend to the ball, all things I like about Mr. Granson.
I will say, when I coached high school ball, I coached a couple. I was lucky enough, and you know, it was a privilege to be able to coach a couple of scholarship Division I players at the position wide receiver and tight end. And the scholarship had nothing to do with me. It was had to do with God-given ability. But I will say, the fact that just turning on the Memphis film, just a couple plays in, I'm looking at Kylan Granson, and I'm just, it's a thing of beauty. It's a joy to see, because it's so hard to line up in the slot, to get split out of the formation, to line up in the slot as that move tight end role, and to be able to block in space, like you mentioned, Skip, to be able to take on that athletic outside linebacker or a safety coming flying down in the block, to be able to handle these guys in space, because your body and your skills aren't matching them and what they're able to do to react to what they're seeing. Look, I was just loving that film. Watch that Memphis film. That Memphis SMU game was a joy to watch during the season. That was one of my favorite games of the year, even though it ended up getting away at the end there. But I loved it. It's a great film for Granson. If you want to check this guy out, man, look that one up. Look up Kylan Granson versus Memphis. And it's a fantastic film. He's got 2 touchdowns in that game, both very athletic plays. He's got a great football IQ. I love Granson. He's a super interesting guy. The tight ends that are coming around next year are going to be quite interesting. That's for sure. I mean, he's deeper down the list, I think, as a prospect. But I like Kylan Granson. He's a good dude.
Yeah, this, you know, 2020 was a really bad year for tight ends. I mean, I think I faded him pretty much across the board in all my leagues. Yeah. But you keep that eye on 2021, it's like, man, the list is really impressive. So we're going to move right into the next one here on the Tight End Happy Hour. Trey McBride, Colorado State, Shaq, talk to us about this guy, because I think we both like what we see in this one.
I put down for him, I said he's a genuinely excellent receiver. He definitely, we mentioned it earlier about coming on down the stretch and really blossoming as the season went on. That's Trey McBride. Okay, he went 45 catches, 560 yards, and 4 touchdowns on the year. But so much of those numbers came in the second half of the season. 67% of his catches in the second half, 74% of his yards, and 100% of his touchdowns were on the back end of the season. So he absolutely grew and was able to come into his own, and he had that coming out party in the second half of the season, and the dude is legit. You watch some of his film, He's not a big dude. He's not huge. He's not that kind of a guy. But what he lacks in size at 6'3", 245, he's got very interesting speed for the position. So I think as a move tight end prospect, I like Trey McBride. Like I've said before, the Steve Addazio, that new coach, saw him for years at BC here in Boston. He's a guy who has featured, even with multiple offensive coordinators, he's featured tight ends. He seems to love tight ends. Like fundamentally as a head coach, he wants to feature the tight end position. So I think stock's going to continue going up for Trey McBride. What do you guys think?
Yeah, man, I like Trey McBride a whole lot. You mentioned, Shaq, his speed, and that was the first thing that I noticed when I turned on his game film. For 245 pounds, while that's not overly big for a tight end, I mean, that's still some pretty – that's still decent size. And for him to be 245 pounds, he's fast for his size.
Yeah.
And he has really good hands, too. I noted his hands were another thing that really stuck out to me, that and his size. If there was one thing that I guess I want to be a little nitpicky on, and I don't know if that's a knock on him or if I'm just looking for something that I don't like about his game, but he wasn't as physical, I guess, as I wanted him to be at that size. It seemed like there were a lot of times where the very first person that got to him was bringing him to the ground. And that was at least a knock for me, because I want to see him at least – I want to see you at that size, 245 pounds. I want to see you fight through at least one or two tackles every now and then. And I didn't seem to see that when I was looking at his game film all that much.
I think that's fair. I think it's just as noteworthy that he is able to use his agility. I think he has very impressive agility. I'm trying to think. I think it's the Fresno State, that long touchdown in the Fresno State game, where he makes that really quick move along the sideline and is able to just it's not a hurdle, but it's almost like a hurdle of a guy going to the ground, sort of get that hand down to steady himself and keep rolling right down the sideline for the long score. Yeah, there's some impressive agility that he has. So sure, like I would agree that he's not like a super physical. He's not going to bowl you over, but yeah, he might just go right around you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he uses a nice stiff arm. I saw a few times where if a guy was going to maybe trip him up or get an arm tackle in there, he'd push him away nicely and keep running. But yeah, the athleticism is what stood out to me. I mean, this guy's definitely a threat as a wide receiver. You know, runs good routes and gets into open space, uses his hands well. Liked how he uses his body too to shield it off. It's kind of funny. We talked about his size a little bit, and he almost looks stocky, kind of the way he's built, but he's quick. I mean, like his legs are moving fast for, you know, if you can be stocky and 6'3". But you know, the guy, good athlete. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he continues to develop. I like him. You know, if I had to compare, you know, the two we just talked about, it would be a tough battle between Granson and McBride. I think I might slightly prefer McBride, but those guys are really comparable as far as if you're ranking the two. Matt, any thoughts on those two guys when you compare them?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, if we're ranking them, I might take Granson, but they're super, super close. And I could just as easily see me taking McBride, because you guys hit on it. His athleticism is crazy for his size, and he's got really phenomenal athleticism to be 245 pounds. So I can say Granson now, but I could easily see myself mid-season wanting McBride above him. They're super close for me.
I think Granson is more complete as an NFL prospect. I think his game is more complete in terms of his blocking prowess. I mean, he was, you know, you watch that Memphis game, there were times he's even staying in to block, and it's not like he was an all-star pass blocker when they kept him in to block, but he wasn't terrible at it. You know, his film, I found so much of it to be impressive. I think he's a more complete guy, but Trey McBride is certainly the more like athletic, explosive guy as a receiver. I think Trey McBride, if he's able to go get it to the NFL, it's as a move tight end prospect. And I think Kylan Granson can be just a tight end.
Yeah, I like that. All right, let's switch over to the running back position. Matt, you got the next guy, George Helani from Boise State. Interesting prospect, I think. I think this is going to be a fun one to talk about. Tell us more about George Helani.
Yeah, man, George Helani. I absolutely love George Helani's game film. He's a little smaller at 5'11", 192 pounds. But when you look at his freshman season, true freshman season, by the way, uber productive, right? He had 1,014 yards and 7 touchdowns on the ground, and then added another 26 receptions for 206 yards and 3 touchdowns, doing this all in his first year of collegiate football. This dude was an absolute baller from the minute he stepped onto the campus. So definitely loved a lot of things that I saw about his game film. Interesting to note for at least George Helani and the whole Boise State rushing attack as a whole, this is the 11th straight year that Boise State has had a 1,000-yard rusher. So that shows me that they have a dedication to the run game, right? That's something that they're definitely committed to running. So George Helani can do this for at least two more years before seeing a career in the NFL. For me, he was somebody that I liked that was super athletic. There were several plays that I saw him leap over several defenders. So he's got that athleticism, and he's got that uber production as a freshman running back, right? He finished top 10 in the Mountain West in terms of rushing yards, touchdowns, yards from scrimmage, yards per rush, all these categories. So he was definitely uber productive his entire career. He's really physical for his size. There were several plays where he's just straight up bullied guys in the open field. I'm talking stiff arm, throwing them to the ground, trucking over them. For 192 pounds, he's got some strength and power to him as well. He's got good sideline awareness, good speed. He's not a burner, but he's more quick on his feet, which I like to see. He's got quick, agile feet. He avoids defenders really well. And I tweeted it out last night. I know you guys saw it because you liked the tweet. But if there was one guy that's kind of under the radar for some weird reason that shouldn't be, it's George Helani. Because when you turn on his game tape, at least for me, he had one of the best vision. He was the back with the best vision that I've seen in a lot of the guys that I've scouted recently. His vision and his one cuts in the open field are phenomenal to me. So he's a complete all-around back. He can catch the ball well. He runs fierce, powerful. He's somebody that I'm super excited about. If there was one thing that maybe I want to knock on his game, like I said, last guy that we were talking about, something that I'm maybe searching for something to knock him on, he seemed like a bit of an upright runner to me. He didn't really run low to the ground. He was more of an upright runner. So that's something that I want to knock him on a little bit. But overall, love George Helani. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I was impressed with his athleticism as well, Matt. Just really good speed. And I liked how he makes some pretty quick moves and then has really nice acceleration after making the move. There's not a lot of delay in his advancement, you know, down the field when he decides to try to make a guy miss and go. It's just really smooth and fast, and he just goes a quick cut. So that's a huge trait for me with running backs, is they can show that explosiveness and the ability to not lose a lot of speed when they're trying to make a guy miss. So that was the thing I picked up. You know, being under 200 pounds, that can be a concern. You know, obviously he's going to probably put on some weight between now and when he finally does, you know, get to the NFL, because he's not even eligible until 2022. But, you know, you want to see him put on a little more weight to kind of take on that NFL, you know, pounding that he's going to get. So, but you know, he's still a good prospect. You know, he got 26 catches, which I really like to see, another 200 yards and three touchdowns there. So, you know, he can catch the ball as well. So this is a complete running back. And really want to know, Shaq, what do you think about this guy?
I love George Helani. I think you guys touched on so many great points on him as a prospect. Some of the things I wrote down about him were very similar to what you guys wrote. Tough physical, really, you know, impressive awareness as a true freshman. I wrote that I find him to be impressively decisive as a runner. He understands how to play angles, and I really appreciated that, seeing that. And some of the simple fundamentals as a runner, he just kind of is one of those guys who does everything well for the most part. Some of those fundamentals, right? Like keeping his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage throughout lateral movement and showing that agility to make the lateral moves and then staying square to get back upfield, get north-south. And I am very impressed with George Helani. I don't think he has elite top-end speed. But, and Matt, you touched on that a bit. Yeah, I think that's really the one knock for me on him, is that top end speed may not be there, but he is a guy who does a lot of things well. And I'm going to be excited to see how he can grow over the next 2 years, because to be able to do it as well as he did it as a true freshman in 2019, bright future ahead for Mr. Helani.
And Skip, you hit on it too. The most impressive thing that I saw was his ability to keep the same speed in the middle of a cut. I mean, there were several plays. It seems about just about every time he had the ball in his hands, he was cutting, leaving a dude falling forward 3 yards to the opposite direction, and he was full speed down the field. I mean, his cuts are, if there was a word that I could use other than impressive, it would be that, because his cuts are phenomenal to me to sit there and watch. One of the best visions and cuts that I've seen and a lot of the guys that I've scouted recently.
Yeah, that was a good points, you know, guys, as well. And, you know, now that you talked more about the speed, that reminded me, you know, when you're watching, you know, video of this guy, there aren't a whole lot of videos of him, you know, breaking away from defenders. He'll get out in the open, he'll get you good yards, but he will, you know, he won't beat the angle with that awesome speed that you see from other running backs or wide receivers. So he will get caught if a guy has the angle or even caught from behind from a faster defensive back. So just something for people.
But to me, that reduces the boom bust in his game too. You know what I mean? Like that, just a guy who can just be a consistently good running back. A lot of times, I think a lot of GMs in the NFL are going to be fascinated with that as much as anything. Just, you know, it may hurt your draft stock a bit to not have that home run threat, but I think he's going to get a shot down the line. He's got 2 years to keep growing, and I think there's going to be a lot of people who are impressed with a guy who can just do everything well overall. He may not smash and go for the 80-yard touchdown, but if he can do all the things that they need him to do fundamentally well, he's going to have a shot down the line.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the negatives that you can have with those guys that are explosive and that can take it to the house on any play is that sometimes they try to do that on every play, mm-hmm. and it will end up costing them, you know, yards that they could have had because they're trying to, you know, always cut back and reverse fields to try and get around that corner with their speed, and they end up getting tackled for a loss or for a short gain. Whereas if they'd have just, you know, stayed patient and taken, you know, what the play was designed for, the hole that was there, they probably would have gotten, you know, 4 or 5, 6 yards. Where a guy like, you know, like this guy, Helani, he's going to take that. I mean, when the hole was there or the play was designed, you watch him, he always hit that thing, and he hit it strong. That's what I noticed too. So I think that's a great point, Shaq, that, you know, NFL teams could really like that this kid's going to be consistent. He knows how to play the game, and he's just a good running back, and we'll take that. We don't need the guy that's going to get the 80 yards. We want the guy that's going to get us 6 to 10.
Yeah, I like him though.
All right, next guy is mine. He's a wide receiver out of San Jose State. His name is Trey Walker. He's 5'11", 180 pounds, senior. He had a breakout season last year with 79 catches, 1,161 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So not a lot of touchdowns, but a lot of catches and yards, really good speed. He runs a variety of routes and uses his hands well. I liked how on poorly thrown balls or, you know, balls that were maybe, you know, 50-50 balls, he adjusted really nicely in the air to those or adjusted his route to make the catch. He can go up high, even though he's only 5'11", to make those difficult catches. And he'll make guys miss and he'll break some tackles for some yards afterwards, which, of course, is always something you want to see. Curious, Shaq, you know, what do you think about Walker? What do you see in this guy? Is he something that should be on people's Devy radars?
I think he's one of the super sleeper guys, man. I think he's one of those dudes who, you know, you remember, think of it this way. Think of the tight ends that we were all looking at going into the NFL draft. Bryson Hopkins, Hunter Bryant, all these names that we thought were going to be like the top tight end to go in the draft this year. And then it's like Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keen. I like the top guys going, and people are like, who? Right? I could see Trey Walker being this name that kind of gets in a lot of people's minds. They're going to be like, who? Trey Walker, San Jose State. I'm telling you, I look at this guy, I'm like, this kid can play in the NFL, man. Like the way, like you said it, like the way that he attacks the ball in the air, like that, he plays that my ball mentality that I love. And to see him go up and attack that ball, even though he's not the contested catch guy you would think, I just love that in terms of football character. I think that this guy is a legit prospect to come back and have one more year to keep growing and getting better. He did, you know, you said it was a breakout year, and it was a breakout year. 79 grabs up from 39 grabs. He was actually down on touchdowns. His sophomore year, he had 39 grabs, 714 yards. Still pretty damn good. 18.3 yards per reception. Shows that explosiveness. 5 touchdowns. So, you know, last year, 79 grabs, 1161 and 2. You'd like to see him get in the end zone more, but sometimes that can be a volatile stat too. I just look at this kid on film and I'm like, man, this dude can play. I expect to see him on Sundays. I do. Matt, what do you think?
I mean, I like everything you guys are saying. Obviously, we agree with everything. The biggest thing that I noted when I turned on his film, Shaq, you hit on it a little bit, was just his go up and get the ball attitude. I just know that this kid was like that kid in kindergarten, right? That never learned how to share his toys. Because that's exactly what reminds me when I watch his game. He was that kid that never shared his toys, because every jump ball when the ball is thrown in the air is Trey Walker's ball. He's got that alpha mentality. So he's somebody that, like you said, I definitely see playing on Sundays, because he just has that rare alpha dog mentality that you just don't see in a lot of guys.
That kid wanted all the blocks to play with. That's right. That's true. I like that.
Winning contested catches is a huge thing, you know, at any level, but I could see how NFL teams would really like that, because, you know, sometimes those balls aren't going to be perfect. You need a guy that's going to bail out your quarterback. So definitely like that skill in Walker. All right, next one on our list, another wide receiver, Central Michigan's Khalil Pimpleton. Shaq, this one is yours. What do you think of the guy from Central Michigan?
Find him interesting, man. He was first team All-Mac as both a wide receiver and a punt returner. He's one of those guys, I think he probably ends up being an undrafted free agent, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him find a role somewhere, because I think he's a, you know, I look at him, I look at his profile, I think of it this way. He's very much in the realm of a Dante Wright, of a Tutu Atwell. It's really kind of the same size. He doesn't get used in the same way, though. He's not that guy doing just lateral stuff. Like, he does a lot of stuff downfield out of the slot. And so he plays much more like a traditional receiver, the way that he's used at Central Michigan. I find it fascinating that he's a transfer originally from Virginia Tech. Just the fact that he got an FBS scholarship. He got FBS scholarship offers in high school as a 5'7", 158-pound prospect. Like, that to me alone, immediately off the top, that he went on scholarship to a Power 5 conference school. Already, my eyes are looking at you being like, all right, dude, what do you got? Because that doesn't really happen very often, you know? Like, just from sitting in on a lot of meetings with coaches and recruits from my experience in high school, we had a kid who went to a very strong Power 5 school as a tight end. He was looking at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame was like, nope, we want our tight ends to be 6'5", and you're 6'4". You know what I mean? And it's just like, all right, like if you don't check certain boxes, there are so many schools that won't even look at you. 5'7", 158, and you got FBS offers? That's impressive. Look, 82 grabs, 894 yards, and 6 scores receiving. Another 200 returning punts, 8.7 yards per punt return. That may not sound like much. If you get over 5 yards per punt return, you're doing something, because it's not easy. Yeah, I really like him as a college player. I don't know that he's going to be able to crack the NFL roster, but I think he's interesting. I think if you're looking at those midweek MAC games and you see the Central Michigan Chippewas, he's a guy that's worth going, you know, worth tuning in to check out. And I hope we get those games, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. Matt, what do you think about this guy?
Yeah, he's another one that I kind of want to take a wait and see approach, because, like Shaq says, he's somebody that reminds me a lot of the Dante Wright, Tutu Atwell guys, where he's got some big play potential, and I mean, he runs routes better than those other two guys did. So yeah. I like him in that aspect better, but he's still such a small receiver compared to what you want to see out of your receivers. He's got that explosiveness, obviously, through his punt returns. 8.7 might not seem like a lot, but like Shaq said, if you're getting over 5 yards, if you're doing something in the return game, it's at least worth noting. So he's one that I just want to take a wait and see approach on, see if he, one, gains some size, and two, if he continues to develop as a true wide receiver.
Yeah, I have kind of the same thoughts on Pimpleton. I mean, obviously he's a good wide receiver. I mean, you don't get 82 catches for almost 900 yards, and you know, if you're not good, because that's great production in college. Mm-hmm. Just want to see, you know, can he continue to do that and make some big plays, make a splash. He's got the hands. He runs all really good routes. So, yeah, he's a solid player. You know, I think he's you know, maybe not as exciting as some of the other guys we've talked about, but still a decent prospect for sure. Matt, your last guy, another running back, Josh Johnson at UL Monroe. Talk to us about Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, so Josh Johnson is one that's intriguing, definitely. He's a 5'9", 209-pound junior, so he's got that already size that you like to see out of your running backs. He was uber productive last year. Last year was his first full-time season with Louisiana Monroe, finished the season with 201 rushes for 1,298 yards and 11 touchdowns, so uber productive that season. He was a JUCO transfer. Important to note, there was no other running back on the roster, guys, that had over 200 yards, so definitely somebody that's taken a majority of the carries. He's what I like to call a decent enough pass catcher. He uses his hands to extend to the ball, but he's somebody that you kind of want to see more in that area, do some more pass catching, but is definitely usable in the pass catching game. He's an able blocker, one that'll go in and make the blocks. You know, he's not shying away from making blocks, so he's definitely interesting in that aspect as well. He shows power and strength in his runs. He has okay speed, nothing special, but he has decent speed, and he's a true north-south runner. He's not one of those guys that, you know, likes to dance in the backfield. And we talked about it when we talked about George Halani. He's somebody that when he sees the hole, he hits the hole. He's a true one cut and go guy. Josh Johnson sees the hole and he hits the hole. And he's somebody that'll go north and south in a hurry instead of dancing around the backfield. So I like to see that a whole lot. He was one guy that I actually went to school at Appalachian State. So he was one guy that I tune in a lot to see. You know, we play them occasionally, so I get to see him a little bit whenever I go and rewatch games on campus or whatnot. So he's somebody that I've got to see a little more. So I like him a whole lot. There are some things that worry me a little about his game. He seems like a guy that is more of a lead a committee type guy in the NFL. Think Darrington Evans, what Darrington Evans was for Appalachian State when he goes in the NFL. He seems not a true workhorse back, but he's one that's going to end up leading the committee. He reminds me, guys, a whole lot of the type of running backs that, to not show my age, to try and show myself a little older than I am, he reminds me a lot of the ground and pound era of the 1970s, right? He's somebody that you hand the ball off to that wears down a defense. So that's definitely very useful in the NFL, right? Especially when the NFL is going now to the days where they like to use those committee running backs. So he's somebody that, for me, while he might not be somebody that's going to lead a backfield, he's somebody that's definitely interesting. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I really like Josh Johnson. I think he's a pretty fascinating dude. I think the biggest knock on him to me is the speed. He's not super fast, but he's a good running back. He's physical. He's got the size. He's got plenty of thickness to him. He's got the agility to have enough wiggle to make some moves and get consistent yardage. I am interested in Josh Johnson. I think the ceiling is definitely capped, but I find him to be a very interesting dude. I think he's underrated at large because so many people just don't see Louisiana Monroe play football very often. But he's one of those, again, one of those dudes, if you can find one of these games on TV this fall, there's going to be some fun games to watch from him. So, yeah, I like Josh Johnson. I think he's not going to be a sexy fantasy football player necessarily, but he's probably going to be a decent, you know, he's one of those better real-life football players than fantasy players in terms of an NFL prospect. It'd be pretty awesome for you if you got him in a C2C league on the college side, though. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I made a couple notes on this guy. The one was that I really want to see more of him. I didn't feel like I got a lot of a good feeling for his game as much as you guys did. What little I was able to see, he appears to be a pretty strong runner. I mean, if he gets going in that hole, he's going to be tougher to bring down. I mean, he's a big dude. He runs pretty strong. But if you make him, you know, you make him change direction in the backfield and have to move laterally, I think that's where, you know, that lack of speed that you guys mentioned is going to stand out. He didn't come across to me as that kind of a dynamic runner who's gonna make something out of nothing, right?
He's not dynamic.
He's not gonna make a guy miss and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, how did he do that? That's not his game. So
not at all.
But I definitely want to see more of him.
I will say that the Dynasty Nerds, they did a piece with him, or they did an interview with him and watching some film. I haven't got to watch it yet, but it's on the Dynasty Nerds YouTube channel. And if you're interested in Josh Johnson, that might be an interesting one to go check out.
Oh, for sure. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to myself getting that in probably this weekend.
All right. The last guy on our list, and for some of those listeners out there wondering why we haven't brought him up. We didn't do this intentionally, but it is quarterback Trey Lance from North Dakota State University. He is a junior. If you're any fan of the Debbie Marketplace with Caleb and Kane, you've probably heard this guy's name mentioned every show because Kane is absolutely infatuated with Trey Lance, and he's not alone. For those of you not paying attention, he threw for just under 2,800 yards last season, 28 touchdowns, zero interceptions. So that's a pretty good ratio. Completed 67% of his passes. He also ran for 1,100 yards and 11 touchdowns. So we're talking about a kid that had almost 4,000 total yards and 39 touchdowns. He is a dynamic runner. He can break tackles. He can get into open space quickly. He will make subtle cuts to avoid tackles and get that extra yard. So he is definitely a yak kind of guy, yards after contact. But the nice thing that I noticed is that as a quarterback, he doesn't just take off and run to get those yards all the time. You know, when it's a pass play, he will use that athletic ability to buy time, and he keeps his eyes down the field, you know, looking to find an open receiver. He's got a really strong arm, and he's got a nice touch on the short passes as well. I mean, I think this guy has a chance to be a really complete quarterback. He's shooting up, you know, people's Debbie lists. So if you haven't taken notice of this guy, you really do need to go check him out. You know, he's projected as a first round pick next year in the NFL draft. So, you know, that's coming from, you know, the draft experts, not just, you know, Debbie guys like us or even dynasty guys. So Trey Lance, in my opinion, is the real deal. I was trying to think of a comparison for him, and I came up with a few guys. You know, one guy we actually talked about earlier for a completely different reason. He has a little Colin Kaepernick in his game where he's that smooth of a runner. I don't know if he has quite that breakaway speed that Kaepernick did, but he's got the strong arm, and he can get you those kinds of yards. Maybe even, you know, if you really want to go back to the old days, we'll talk about the Randall Cunningham from Matt's Eagles. Kind of a Cunningham like running ability as well. I mean, he eats up yards quickly when he's running. And again, he can throw the ball too. I mean, and this is a big kid. I mean, he's 6'3", 224. So he's not, you know, he's not one of those 5'11 guys that are, you know, running around, you know, quick that looks like he could play running back. He is a legit quarterback prospect, in my opinion. You know, I really would like to hear, Matt, what do you think about Trey Lance, and where do you have him ranked on your quarterback rankings?
Yeah, man, you hit absolutely everything. I absolutely love Trey Lance. You know, when you look at your Debbie quarterback rankings, you've got Trevor Lawrence and you have Justin Fields, and then there's a tier break. But for me, I'm putting my stamp on Trey Lance right at my number three quarterback. He does so many things so well. You would touch on his athleticism, and he's uber dynamic as a runner. But he's not also just a runner. He's somebody that, like you said, when he's moving around in the pocket and he's extending plays, his eyes are constantly downfield looking to hit the shots. He's accurate on every single level of the field. And you want to talk about comparisons? Just when I was watching his game, he reminds me a lot. I know this may make you guys go, whoa, you know, let's step back for a second. But he reminds me a lot of mix Ben Roethlisberger's body with what Russell Wilson does on the field. And that's Trey Lance for me. He does so many things well when it comes to extending plays. He's accurate, but he's got a big body. He can be a lot of what Carson Wentz is supposed to be if he doesn't get injured, for me. I absolutely love Trey Lance.
And I assume you mean younger, more in shape Ben Roethlisberger, not chubby. I haven't played for over a year.
Not chubby. Bigger, have bigger a 5 foot. Have a 5 foot beard. Yeah, it's the athletic Ben of the day.
Shaq, how about you? What do you feel about Trey Lance?
Well, Trey Lance, I mean, I think the hype is a bit out of control. I have seen very reputable evaluators who I have immense respect for have come out and said that they have him as the QB1 in this class. I mean, to me, I think that's a little bit of hyperbole at this point. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, for me, is that guy. I know some people have Justin Fields ahead. I don't think that's crazy by any stretch of the imagination, but I would I am very comfortable with Trevor Lawrence at 101 in this draft class. There's no guarantee, first of all, that Trey Lance is going to come out. He's only played a year of college football. And I made this point on Twitter a little while ago, and this is very much oversimplifying the point, okay? But just kind of to make the point, right? As a true freshman, Trevor Lawrence went undefeated and won the national championship and was the MVP of the national championship game in a Power 5 conference and did it over Alabama, and they rolled. And during his true freshman season, Trey Lance was backing up Easton Stick on the sideline. You know what I mean? Now, I know that, like, it's not the same thing. Easton Stick, it was the incumbent starter and all that, and he was able to get drafted in the NFL. It's oversimplifying the argument, but at the same time, true freshman, same season, that's two very different things that they were doing. So I just want to see Trevor Lawrence is gone and been able to have some growth and develop in year two. I want to see what Trey Lance does in year two. I'm pro Lance. I'm not anti Lance with this point. I'm pro Lance. I love his arm strength. It's crazy. I mean, the ball can leave his arm looking like a bazooka shot it. So his arm strength is bananas. His turnover ratio is literally invisible, does not turn the ball over, but he's not perfect either. Like, you watch, my favorite is the Montana State, the national championship semifinal game in the playoffs. He was awesome. He had absolutely lit it up, passed for three touchdowns, ran for two touchdowns. So he had an amazing game. And yet at the same time, you know, there was a couple of balls that could have been intercepted, and that one of them, like, should have been, and another one that could have been. So it's not like he's perfect, for God's sake. So I'm looking to see how he's going to grow in year two. I think I would like to see, you know, stats, you know, the old saying, stats for losers or whatever. But look, I would like to see the stats increase a little bit as a passer. I mean, he only threw over 200 yards in four games out of 16. I mean, they racked up a bunch of games. You know what I mean? So it's not like in terms of like passing volume, it's not like it was that prolific. But yeah, the kid has all the tools. I love his tools. I love the way he plays the game. He's fearless, athletic as all hell. You guys touched on all those points, man. I love Trey Lance. I just want to see it in year two. And we're going to get an awesome chance to see it in week one. We're going to see what he's grown into by week one, because they start the year with Oregon. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. And that really helps too, because I think that's one of the things that people will, you know, if you're going to knock them, it's, well, look at the competition. And sure, you know, we've had, you know, Carson Wentz from the same school, but just because Carson Wentz, you know, worked out and is a good NFL player doesn't mean that every quarterback that comes from NDSU is going to be good. The thing that, you know, as fantasy football players and, you know, people need to remember is how much more upside does he have because of the rushing ability. I mean, that when you get a quarterback that, you know, he's not, you know, the next Lamar Jackson, let's not get crazy. He doesn't have that kind of freakish athletic ability, but he has the kind of ability where he could easily get you 500-600 yards rushing with, you know, half a dozen touchdowns. And that really makes up, you know, in your points when you're all of a sudden looking at your season totals, like, wow, those add up. Matt, I know you want to get back in here. What are your final thoughts on Trey Lance?
Yeah, final thoughts is, I loved everything you guys said. I just wanted to hit on, Shaq, what you said. He's a phenomenal prospect, right? So let's not let what we're saying hinder you from taking him, because he's somebody that you need to have on at least one Devy roster. He's going to be a good quarterback in my eyes. But for me, there's a clear tier break between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Trey Lance is a great prospect, and he's going to be a good quarterback. But he's not Trevor Lawrence, okay? Trevor Lawrence is in a whole tier with Justin Fields. It's getting closer, but Trevor Lawrence is a different beast. So be cautious, but still draft him. But Trey Lance is going to be good.
I had the same tier break as well.
He's going to be, like, and this is all, like, right now, right? Like, we got a whole another year to see, like, what does he turn into? I mean, if he does the same damn thing next year, then sure, like, we may reevaluate, right?
Right.
But everything is subject to change. But yeah, he's going to be if he stays at QB3 in this draft class and he comes out, like we said, like, there's always the possibility he may not come out after this year. But if he comes out after this year, he'll be one hell of a consolation prize for anyone who misses out on those first two QBs.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We'll be back with you at some point in the near future. Of course, we're going to have to work around the holiday coming up, and hopefully you guys have got some fun things planned. I'll be going up to the lake and doing some more fishing again. I killed it last time, so looking forward to that again. But Matt, why don't you tell us your final thoughts and, you know, where everyone can find you and your work.
So final thoughts, excited. Final thoughts wise, guys, I had a great time doing this series with you guys. It was really fun breaking down vacated targets. I'm excited to see where we go next. It's going to be a good time as always. Love getting to hang out with you guys and talk football. Appreciate the listeners viewing us. You guys can find me on Twitter at @DHH_Matt. You can find my rankings at Dynasty Happy Hour. I try to update those ranks as much as possible. And as always, if you got any questions, I love interacting with you guys on Twitter, so reach out.
And Shaq, how about you? Where can everyone find all the work you do?
I'm happy to interact with anybody at Dynasty Tools on Twitter. DynastyHappyHour.com. You can find my Debbie ranks over there. And participating with the Dynasty Nerds squad and the Debbie team over there. Just finished, and it's going to be uploaded in the next day or two. Video on a recent Nerds C2C draft, Campus Can't League draft. Taking you through the team build, the whole 45 rounds, my thought process as I went through that journey of a month plus on that draft. There's just not a lot of C2C content out there, so we're trying to make sure that we're rolling some out so that people, it's a niche within a niche here, but the people that are checking it out, they're all loving it. You guys know that. And so when they're checking it out, and if they're not sure what they're doing getting in, I love them jumping in. We want to try and make sure that we create some content for them, because it's tough to find.
The CDC leagues are picking up steam. I mean, it feels like we see so many of that now. I'm on a group me chat with actually my first Debbie league, and all of a sudden they started going off on, hey, any of you guys interested in starting a CDC league? I was like, and here we go. But yeah, it's fascinating. For those of you that aren't following Shaq, or even if you are, he's been posting his C2C Nerds draft picks with a nice breakdown and usually a video as well. Check it out. Go through the timeline. I've enjoyed it. In fact, you know, once in a while I'll miss them, and so I'll go back and just kind of look to see. You know, it's a great way to just get little snippets on guys. And
well, if you check out the Dynasty, I was kind of like going through the entire draft with the idea of this video breakdown at the end. So and so I was kind of doing the work as we went through the draft. So I used a lot of those videos to sort of be visuals when we went through on this video that I just created. So I just finished that. That'll be up the next day or two. Check out the Dynasty Nerds YouTube channel to check it out.
Awesome. And just want to remind people as well that, of course, we are part of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts. The main one being the Dynasty Happy Hour, Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunther. Then we've also got the DHH Contractor, hosted by Randy, a.k.a. Memphis, where he takes a guest on the show every week and breaks down their Dynasty roster and gives them a roadmap for success. So if you're interested in being a part of that, just reach out to Memphis on Twitter, which is on the internet, at DFF Memphis. And then the IDP Power Hour, a couple of awesome guys there, at Oklahoma Doug and Russ, which is at Clutch Russ 72. I am Skip Newton. My stuff, of course, is on the DynastyHappyHour.com. I do my rankings there. I keep them up to date, try to update them at least every other week, if not every week, just as I'm doing more and more research, as we're finding more gems doing this kind of stuff. So try to really be good and diligent at that. So be sure to check that out. Please rate and review the show. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Any ideas you have for future shows, stuff that you want us to answer, any questions you have, we'd love to talk about it. If you got a Debbie trade you want us to break down, we can do that too. Feel free to just DM the show or myself. I'm at SkipNewton31 on the Twitter machine. Thank you so much for listening. I hope everyone has a wonderful holiday. If we don't have another podcast before Independence Day, stay safe and be a good human.